Hello, everybody, and welcome to our service of morning prayer. Today is the Sunday before Lent, and in our service today, we're going to be thinking about the transfiguration of Jesus. And really, what we're thinking about is an encounter that Jesus had on a mountainside with some of his early disciples and the impact that had upon them. We have some notices for the week that is to come. On Tuesday evening at 6:30, the Select Vestry will be meeting over Zoom. And on Wednesday evening at 8:00, our Alpha course continues over Zoom. This week, as we say, marks the beginning of the season of Lent, and our first midweek Lenten service will take place at 7:30. It will be streamed from the church, and in our service, our first Lenten service, we're going to be thinking about the topic of looking after our mental health in lockdown. Next Sunday, our service will be the service of morning prayer. And as we gather together to worship God today, our opening hymn is the hymn, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above.
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together today to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today is a musical version of Psalm 84, and we hear a version from Thanks and Praise, How Lovely is Your Dwelling Place.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul is longing and fainting, the courts of the Lord to see. My heart and flesh, they are singing for joy to the living God. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts and me. Even the sparrow finds a home where he can settle down, and the swallow, she can build a nest where he may lay her young. Within the court of the Lord of hosts, my King, my Lord, and my God. And happy are those who are dwelling where the song of praise is sung. And I'd rather be a doorkeeper and only stay a day than live the life of a sinner and have to stay away. For the Lord is shining as the sun, and the Lord, he's like a shield, and no good thing does he withhold from those who walk his way. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts and me. My soul is longing and fainting, the courts of the Lord to see. My heart and flesh, they are singing for joy to the living God. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts and me.
Our Old Testament reading today is from the second book of Kings, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. Here ends our Old Testament reading. This coming week sees the beginning of the season of Lent. And throughout the season of Lent, every day, Bishop David has decided to share a series with us about the book of Nehemiah. And I'm going to let him introduce that series to us, which will be available for anybody to watch every day during the season of Lent.
I'd like to encourage you to engage with a little series of talks that I've prepared for the season of Lent this year. Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, the 17th of February, and runs right through to Palm Sunday on the 28th of March. So I've prepared a series of talks. Each talk is about 6 to 8 minutes in length, so they're not very long talks, and there's one for each day. And they're based on the book of Nehemiah. So 40 talks that will take us right through the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, the prophet, talks and teaches us so much about building and rebuilding. In his case, it was building and rebuilding walls, but more than that, it was building and rebuilding a community, a faith community, a community that would live the way God wanted them to live. As I grew up in the 1960s and in the 1970s on a farm, I saw a lot of building work. The farmhouse that I lived in had an extension added to it during those years, and there were lots of farmhouses built at that particular time, houses for animals on the farm, pig houses, a milking parlour, and lots of other buildings were built at that particular time. Now, my father was a farmer, but I remember him doing a lot of building. Even though he was a farmer, he rolled up his sleeves and he got on with a lot of building work, a lot of building work during those years. And that's the sort of picture that we have here in the book of Nehemiah. Everybody's involved in the work of building. They may not actually be builders, but they roll up their sleeves and they're involved in this important work of building a people for God, building a community for God, and actually building physical structures that would also enable that community to be a community that could live in safety, that could live in a way that they would be able to worship God, and in a way that God would be at the very center of their lives and that they would know the full blessings that God had for them. And so I've given this little series of talks a title, and the title is this: Hand Me a Trowel. Hand Me a Trowel. As I would be hanging around at the foot of a ladder as my dad was building, a young boy, he would have shouted down from the top of the ladder or from halfway up the ladder, "Hand me a trowel. Hand me a trowel." I think that maybe is a word that God is saying to us in the church today. Hand me a trowel. God wants us to be those that have an open hand and open hearts and open hands to work and to build for his kingdom and to build a church in these days that would be strong, that would be healthy, that would meet the needs that are real and very close and near at hand as we move forward in the months that lie ahead, as we all get vaccinated and hopefully can emerge back out into not only our church buildings to worship, but back out into our world to live for Christ, to serve Christ, and to make Christ known. We've sought to do that during seasons of lockdown, but we now need to be getting ready for a season of building and rebuilding. And our prayer to God should be, "Lord, hand me a trowel. I want to be one of your workers. Help me to be one of your builders." So please join with us in this little series from the book of Nehemiah. I hope that you'll be really blessed. I really hope that it'll be a resource that churches right across the diocese will engage with. It'll just be 6 to 8 minutes every day for the 40-day period of Lent. God bless you. Thank you.
And if you wish to follow that series, we hope that it will be available on the church's website and Facebook page. Our New Testament reading today comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark in the 9th chapter, beginning at the 2nd verse, as we hear of the transfiguration of Jesus. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves. Here ends our reading. And as we reflect on that experience of the disciples and Jesus on the mountaintop, we listen to our next hymn, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." Now we affirm our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our special collect prayer for today, the Sunday before Lent. Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross. Give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as we prepare to open our hearts to God's word, our next hymn is the hymn, Rise and Hear, the Lord is Speaking. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I suspect that many people are finding the current lockdown the most challenging of the ones that we have experienced to date. And sometimes just to escape the relentless nature of it all. In our house, we play little games and we reminisce about holidays and lovely experiences that we've enjoyed. And we look back on those times and they bring a smile to our face. And recently when we were doing such reminiscing, it brought to mind a holiday in West Cork, where we had a really interesting dining experience. We had booked a meal at a place called Island Cottage on Hare Island. And in order to get there, it was a bit of an adventure. You had to get a local boatman to take you across from the pier on the mainland on a 15-minute journey. And then there was a walk of about half a mile or so. And then, interestingly enough, when you eventually reached the cottage, which was your destination, You had no choice at all in terms of what you ate, and you had no choice at all about where to sit. The cottage seated maybe about 15 or 20 people. All the food was locally sourced and prepared. And quite apart from the food, which was excellent, the company also was brilliant, because there were certain rules about dining in this cottage. You were seated not necessarily with your spouse or your companion, and even as you walked from the boat to the cottage, you got into conversations with the other people who were on the boat. And you were seated around the table, which was more like benches, really, than tables or chairs. And so people who arrived at this destination as strangers became friends over food. And it's interesting the way travel and food have a way of bringing people together. And it's wonderful even to witness how these things take place. And today, as we read of this incredible event in the Gospel on the mountain, we get a sense ourselves of also being eyewitnesses of a significant moment in the life of Jesus and three of his closest companions. You might remember some years ago here in church, we studied together the whole Gospel of Mark. And if you remember, one of the things about Mark's Gospel is that Mark was a secretary or a translator for Peter. And so we do indeed get this sense that we're getting an eyewitness account of this key moment in Jesus' life. And nothing significant ever seems to happen in the Gospel of Mark without Peter being present. And in this incident we read of today, we are privy to something that was experienced just by these three disciples and Jesus. The first half of Mark's Gospel, up to chapter 8 or so, centers on who Jesus is. And the second half then of Mark's Gospel centers more on Jesus' purpose and what he came to do. And in our reading today, we hear then this description of what Peter, James, and John experienced in the company of Jesus shortly after he had explained to them the suffering and the rejection that lay ahead of him. And it also was a sign to them of what to expect if they continued as his disciples. And I guess that all those references to suffering and to rejection were so contrary to their expectations that it must have caused deep inroads into their previous confidence that Jesus was actually the Messiah. In the Bible, the mountain was always the place where God somehow revealed himself to humankind. And in Jewish thought, the presence of God is very regularly connected with a cloud. And we have all of these elements coming together in this reading. Centuries before this particular event took place that we read of today, according to the book of Exodus, God came down on Mount Sinai in a cloud, and the voice of God spoke out of that cloud, and everyone present was afraid. Nobody was able to see God's glory directly and live. But even getting near to God's glory was enough to make Moses' face shine with the reflected glory of God. And then, centuries later, on another mountain, there is glory again. There is a mountain again. And there's a voice out of a cloud, and even Moses makes an appearance. But Jesus doesn't point to the glory as Moses and Elijah and all the other prophets have done, because the thing is that he himself is the glory of God. Jesus is the glory of God in human form. And in the past, whenever the glory of God was visible, people couldn't see it and live. And that's why Moses only saw the back of God. And yet here in this incident today on the side and the top of the mountain, Peter, James, and John are in the presence of God and they do not die. In fact, they hear God the Father speaking of his love for the Son, just as he did when Jesus was baptized. And then suddenly the cloud goes away and they are left there blinking in the comparatively dim light of the mountaintop in this state of electrified wonder at what they've just seen. And I guess when we try to unravel this incident, what we actually see Peter, James, and John have experienced is worship. What an amazing thing it is. It's one thing for all of us to know in our head this morning that the glorious Creator God loves you and cares for you and holds you. But it's quite another thing to actually sense this and to experience it in our lives. And the thing is that while we can't be on the mountaintop and have these wonderful spiritual experiences all the time, whatever life brings, all of us, to some extent, do need these foretastes of God's glory to nourish and to strengthen us. And remember, when this happened, just after Peter had recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, and yet Jesus outlined very clearly to the disciples that the Messiah must suffer and die. And that was exactly the polar opposite to what they thought a Messiah should be. And on the mountain, we see Jesus today surrounded by God. And yet on the cross, he will actually be forsaken. On the mountain, through the Spirit, God was strengthening Jesus for his mission, for that infinite suffering that he would endure to defeat all evil. But there is a sense that through worship, God can empower us in the same way to face evil and indeed to journey through and to overcome our own suffering. And if the truth be told, most of us, to a greater or lesser extent, have known suffering in this past year, whether it is through illness or bereavement or loss, whether it's through uncertainty around our employment or being unable to visit our friends or family, and the constant uncertainty or anxiety of this season of pandemic leaves us all on edge. And when we see Jesus in all his glory on the side of this mountain, and then just a short time later prepared to let go of all of it and to endure his suffering for us, when we see all that he himself went through for our forgiveness, for our future, in order to offer to each one of us the gift of eternal life. There's a sense that when we see that and we take it on board in our hearts and our lives, our hearts cannot remain the same. But it is only when we have pursued God in repentant helplessness that we will have truly worshipped. Every time then that we sense his embrace, our soul will shine a little bit brighter with his reflected glory. And we will be the slightest bit perhaps more ready to face whatever life has in store for us. So maybe today, maybe even in this service, through a moment of quietness or prayer, we too might be able to get a fresh glimpse of his glory, and then be strengthened to continue through the challenges of our own journey, as we too have the privilege of worshiping him and seeing him face to face. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you continue to encounter human beings in all sorts of unexpected places today. When people are not expecting it, you often reveal yourself to them, reminding them of your love and concern for their lives, reassuring them of forgiveness and the opportunity for a fresh start. So we pray today for all around the world who are seeking you. We pray for those who are searching for hope and for answers in this difficult time. We pray for all those who are battling difficult circumstances and who feel alone and afraid. And we ask that you would come alongside in your majesty and your gentleness and make yourself known. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray today for the nations of the world. As we continue to pray, especially at this time, for relations between Britain and the European Union, we want to pray for a healing of divisions. And we pray for those in positions of leadership to speak words of peace and moderation after all the recent tensions. We also want to pray for special wisdom right across the world as vaccination programs begin to be rolled out. And we pray for measured and wise decisions as people consider how best to move out of lockdown in our society in the coming months. We ask these things and your wisdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we pray especially for all who are homeless or sleeping rough in this bitterly cold weather. We also want to pray for all who are battling addictions in this difficult season, and for support and help to be available for all who seek it. We also remember in our prayers today those who have been bereaved, as we remember especially the family and friends of Frank Savage, who was laid to rest earlier this week. We ask for your comfort to surround them in their sad loss. And we want to take just a quiet moment now to pray for the healing presence of God, to surround all those whom we know who are in particular need at this time. And we remember them before you now in a moment of quietness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn today is the hymn, How Lovely on the Mountains Are the Feet of Him Who Brings Good News.
Oh,
we bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ the Son be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us in worship today. And as we prepare for this season of Lent, which begins next week, one of the themes that we long to see in our lives is the light of Christ breaking through. And that's the theme of our closing hymn today, Longing for Light.